Hi, welcome to the first ever episode of my podcast, Carbon Talks. I'm your host, Matthew Christian Miller, aka Carbon Gaming. Today on the podcast, we actually are going to be talking about, well, different games that I have played in the past. My gaming started with pretty much everyone's first game, which is a Mario game. Mine actually was Super Mario on the Super Nintendo. I went over to a friend's house and was able to play that game there because I didn't have any game stations at my house at the time because I really wasn't into gaming. But as soon as I picked up that Super Mario game, I was hooked. And I knew I wanted to make my whole life about gaming. I was only about probably 5 or 6 years old whenever that happened. I know I was a little late into joining that game because I was born in 95, so it was the early 2000s whenever I played it, but still, I will never forget picking up that game and just playing it for hours over at my friend's house. In fact, actually, my friend had to get his mother to tell me to let him play because I was so addicted to it already. My first game console was actually an NES as well. Or not an NES, N64. And first game I got on there was actually Super Mario, something like Super Mario 64, I think that's what it's called. But that was my first ever game on there, and I played it until the console broke. I also had Metroid and other games on there, but my favorite had to be Super Mario. I've always been more of a Nintendo child growing up. As I'm recording this podcast, I'm actually playing Minecraft. I know, 10-year-old game, but it's still relevant, I think. Speaking of Minecraft, that's how I actually started my YouTube channel. Well, my original YouTube channel, which was Gaming with Christian. And that's actually what my current YouTube channel became, was Gaming with Christian. Well, came from, I mean. I'm literally pulling this all off the top of my head, so I'm not reading off a script or anything. So that's why I'm kind of stuttering a little bit. So, what made me get into gaming on YouTube was I watched some of my favorite YouTubers like DanTDM and also people like Markiplier, Jacksepticeye, and those. The old classics, you know? The ones that, like, everyone knows now. But I was watching them back whenever they weren't so well known. And I actually, honestly, was so impressed by what they could do in Minecraft and other games that I was like, I want to do that. So I started up Gaming with Christian and thought, oh, I'll have a lot of fun doing this. And unfortunately, I kind of stopped doing that. And then I transferred it all over to Carbon Gaming and did that for a bit, and now I've actually stopped doing YouTube for 4 years, though. I am coming back, don't worry, I will be coming back. I just gotta get back in the mood to record, and this is kind of the first step. But my original channel was Mornings with Christian. That channel is no longer around, don't try to find it, it's not there. Google actually took it down for what they said was breaking the terms of service, but they won't explain to me what broke the terms of service. It was a small channel anyhow, so you wouldn't have been able to find it. But on that one, I actually got started because I loved the show Good Mythical Morning, and I wanted to make kind of like a parody of it. And I still remember my first ever episode. I was yelling into this potato camera that I had actually bought, and I was so happy to have this, and my parents actually did not want me to do YouTube. they said, no, if you do YouTube, you're gonna be putting yourself out there for anyone. We don't want you doing that. We want you being safe. And I obviously didn't listen. And I had been doing YouTube for about 10 years at the point when my original channel got deleted. I started Carbon Gaming with Christian, 4 years after, or actually, no, 6 years after I started Good Morning Christian, which actually did become Gaming with Christian as well. And then I decided to rebrand again to Carbon Gaming because I started focusing more on gaming on there, and that's actually when I thought this isn't the right channel. So I created Gaming with Christian and rebranded it to Carbon Gaming later on to go with actually my character's name in Minecraft. I'm Carbon Gaming in Minecraft as well. And honestly, I have loved it ever since. Being able to play games, being able to just enjoy myself and get away, and especially right now with this Corona stuff going on, I honestly need an escape. And with everything else going on in my life, I personally do not prefer to go into that, because it's real personal and I don't talk to many people about it. My family knows the situation I'm in, but they want me to be independent, so they're not going to help with the situation. So I actually, I'd have to say that my favorite game would have to probably be Minecraft, because that has brought me close to so many people. In fact, actually got me my first ever girlfriend. We both were playing on the same Minecraft server. Unfortunately, it's gone now, and I really wish it wasn't, because there's so much nostalgia behind that server. I mean, we literally met on there. We became real close because we both played on there almost every single day, every single night. And we just, unfortunately, it was a long-distance relationship, and that kind of just killed the relationship, was the distance. And if you've ever had a long distance relationship, you know how that works. You know that never really works out. She was in Australia, I was in America. So we tried our best. We were together for 8 months, but because I couldn't get out to Australia at the time, it just didn't work out. So, my second favorite game, I'd have to say, probably would have to be, I know I'm not in a popular opinion here, but I'd probably have to say is a tie between Fortnite and Halo. I mean, honestly, I won't put anything above Halo other than Minecraft. It's barely a tie between the two. I mean, if I really had to choose, I'd choose Halo over Fortnite. Like, if someone sat me down and said, you have to choose your top two games and you can't have any ties, if you have a tie, you're shot, I'd say Minecraft and Halo. No question. No hesitation. The reason I love Fortnite is because, well, it's a bit of an unusual game. I mean, because it was one of the first to do what it did, a battle royale first-person shooter. I mean, we hadn't heard of that yet whenever it came out, really. The only other game that did it was PUBG, and that one wasn't really taking off. And also, the fact that it's kind of cartoony really helped take away from the fact that it was a mindless shooter, basically. And so it just made it so much more unique, I think. So And the reason I love Halo is because that was the second ever game I ever played. First ever game, well, not second ever game, but first ever game I played on the Xbox. I remember going over to my cousin's house because my dad was wanting to go visit his brother. And so me, my dad, my mom all went to my cousin's house. Well, my uncle's house, really. And in that house, I was real bored, and my parents were like, go play with your cousin, and my cousin didn't really want to do much, but he's like, I have video games. I'm like, oh, that sounds like fun. And he booted up, and it was Halo Combat Evolved. And I remember I didn't know what I was doing. I probably ruined his game at first, but pretty soon after, I learned pretty quickly how to play, and it was so much fun. And I remember I was like, Mom, Dad, y'all have got to come see this. And at the time, they didn't want me playing violent games, and they were like, oh my goodness, you're not allowed to play that. And I was like, oh, come on, it's fun. And they just kept on going back and forth, and eventually I started playing it more and more and more. And I think they realized he's growing up. He's not going to be able to be stopped from playing certain games when he's over here. And they were just kind of okay with it, you know? So, again, I was able to beat the system in my mind that they put in place. I couldn't do things. And I was only able to play whenever I was over there. And then finally, whenever we moved for the last time, because I moved a lot growing up. I only lived in one place for maybe 2 years at a time. And that's because my dad was, well, the job my dad did, he was a petroleum engineer. And so we moved several times, and we never really stayed anywhere for too long. But what we did eventually live somewhere for a long period of time, me and my friend at that time that I made whenever we moved, he finally got an Xbox 360 whenever the Xbox One was out. And the only reason why he got an Xbox 360 was because I got it for him for his birthday. Many years after we had moved, and the only reason I got him the Xbox was because he said, I really want to play Destiny. He ended up never playing Destiny, really, and he really didn't ever play the Xbox, which was unfortunate. So I ended up with it later, but we bought Halo 4, and that's the next Halo game I played, Halo 4. I remember it made me cry at the end. There have only been two games that have ever made me cry. Halo 4's ending, and Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Blue Rescue Team, or Red Rescue Team. Those are the only two games that have ever made me cry. There have only been two games that have ever left me speechless. BioShock Infinite, which I just recently finished, and also Halo 5's ending. They both just left me speechless. And I've played hundreds of games. I mean, right now, in my Steam library, I have about, oh, I probably have about 40 to 50 games in my Steam library that I've yet to play all the way through. And so, but I've played hundreds of games. And the fact that only two have made me cry, and only two have left me speechless, is incredible. That just goes to show how good of writing they are. And I'm not like one of those hard guys that it's impossible to make cry, or it's almost impossible to leave me speechless. But to make me cry, I will cry anytime I see something slightly emotional. I mean, I literally cried at the new Scoob movie. because it looked like Scooby and the gang were breaking up, and then it looked like Scoob and Shaggy were going to have to be separated, and it was just real emotional for some reason for me, and I guess it's because I grew up watching them, and I was like, no, you can't break them up, you can't make them leave each other, that's just not right. And so, it's not impossible to make me cry. Like I said, I'm very emotional. And I'm very in touch with my emotions. So, I mean, I'm not like one of those guys all cry at the drop of a hat, but if it's slightly emotional, I usually cry. And the fact that, like I keep saying, that there are only two that made me cry really, really speaks to their writing. And the fact that there are only two that leave me speechless really speaks to their writing. And if you have not played Bioshock Infinite, I would definitely recommend that you play it. You don't have to play Bioshock 1 and 2 beforehand. You really don't. It's not like it's a continuation. It's a whole new storyline. Whole new everything. There are a lot of similarities between them, but you don't have to play all of them to get the full story. So, I definitely recommend playing Bioshock Infinite all the way through to the end. Because, well, you will be left speechless. And now let's actually get into some gaming news. I know I've rambled on a bit, but hey, podcasts aren't meant to be short and sweet. So let's actually get on to some gaming news. There's actually rumors that have basically been confirmed by Take-Two Interactive of a new Bioshock game. Bioshock 4. We don't know what it's going to be called yet. Though there are some speculations of where it'll take place. A lot of people are saying that it'll take place back in Rapture, which is where Bioshock 1 and 2 take place. I personally believe that it will take place in New Eden, as it was called, or Columbia, as it's actually known. Which is where Bioshock Infinite takes place. The Flying City of Columbia. I believe that it will take place in that city. The reason being is, and this is why I said if you haven't played, you might want to play it. Because there's a major spoiler coming for the end of Bioshock Infinite. But of course, if you haven't played by now, you probably aren't going to play because it's several years old at this point. It's like 7 years old at this point. So, if you still want to play through without ruining the ending, well, you might want to click off this podcast now. But before you do, don't forget to leave a like or rating, high rating, or and a comment saying what you liked about the show. And so, the ending of Bioshock Infinite ends with Elizabeth drowning Booker D. White before he can make the choice of getting baptized or not being baptized. If he decides not to be baptized, he stays Booker D. White, and if he does get baptized, he becomes Comstock. And after the ending, all of them, except for one Elizabeth, fade out of existence, which signifies that all the universes where the choice was made, whether it be to be baptized or to be not baptized, had been erased. But the fact that one remains, it kind of was a sticking point for me, and it's just like, why did that one remain? And I mean, I've played the DLC too, but I don't think that that really truly is canon to the story because it still doesn't explain why she remained. And so, in my theory, is the fact that there's still a Booker DeWitt and an Elizabeth or Anna DeWitt that exist outside the timeline, outside of the known universe. And there will always be a Booker DeWitt, and there will always be an Anna DeWitt. So, Anna DeWitt is Elizabeth. We find that out later, that that's why she can open the tears, because she was taken through a tear that was opened whenever her father, Booker, gave her up. To pay off a debt, because, well, in the universe where he becomes Comstock, he can't have his own children. So he steals his only daughter to become his heir. So it's kind of confusing because he doesn't let her know that she's a stolen girl, that she came from another universe, and she tries to figure out why she can open up these tears. But the reason that she can open up the tears, it turns out, is because her finger got cut off by the tears, thus tethering her to the universe where Booker stays Booker and gives her up. So, which is kind of sad if you really think about it, and the fact that he had to give up his daughter to pay off a debt. But he does go and try to find her after he starts piecing together the memories on his own to find the girl and erase the debt. But the reason that he's piecing that together is because that's what they originally said to him. They said, "Bring us the girl, or give us the girl, and wipe away the debt." And so he now thinks that that's what he needs to do to remove all his debt, even though his debt's already been forgiven. His debt's gone. It's just his brain trying to deal with the fact that he's been thrust into another universe, into another parallel universe. That he doesn't really exist in. Because this is a parallel universe where Comstock exists. And Elizabeth is Elizabeth now, not Anna. And he actually kind of recognizes her at first. After they escape Columbia, he recognizes her and says, "Anna?" But of course, she knows herself as Elizabeth at this point, so she says, "I'm not Anna." And several people recognize her as Anna. But she, of course, always denies the fact that she's Anna and sticks to the fact that she's Elizabeth Comstock. Because that's what she knows. But back to my theory. It also goes with the ending, which is, well, the fact that at the very end, after all the credits, you had to sit there for a while to get this information, but at the very end of the game, there is a scene where Booker opens up the door that he kept Anna in and says, "Anna, is that you?" Meaning that He still exists, but that she still exists in that universe, and that the universes aren't closed off like they thought they were, which is obviously very interesting. Next week, I want to know what you guys think about that theory. Do you think that that could be true, or do you think I'm completely off my rocker by stating that? Let me know by calling into the show. The number to call is 469-587-9715. Please make sure that you are stating your name because I am using a Google Voice number. I want to hear next week's show, and I will do my best to respond to these and also possibly play some of these voicemails. And like I said, I will do my best, and I will see you guys in the next episode. Bye-bye.